The book of 2 Samuel. We continue today. We come to 2 Samuel chapter 10, verse 6. And so let's begin with prayer as we always do. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Samuel chapter 6, or chapter 10, verse 6. And when the children of Ammon saw that they had become odious before David, the children of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians of Beth-Rehob and the Syrians of Zobah, 20,000 footmen, and of King Maacah, 1,000 men, and of Tob, 12,000 men. And when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the host of the mighty men. So Hanan expected an attack, and so he hired an army. He knew he was wrong in what he had done to David's men, humiliating them like he did. And he knew that David was angry, and he was justified in being angry. And so the new king figured he was in trouble, and he was right. If someone treats others with disrespect, they can expect trouble. A mean person sows seeds of meanness that will come back to them sooner or later. Verse 8, and the children of Ammon came out and put the battle in array at the entrance of the gate. And the Syrians of Zobah and of Rehob and Tob and Maacah were by themselves in the field. The Ammonites used their own army to guard their city. And they used their hired army out in the field. So Israel has a tough fight ahead of them. They have two enemies on two different fronts. And so we learn that anyone who thinks that doing the right things means you won't encounter tough opposition is very naive. Verse 9 and 10. When Joab saw that the front of the battle was against him before and behind, he chose of all the choice men of Israel and put them in array against the Syrians. And the rest of the people he delivered into the hand of Abishai, his brother, that he might put them in array against the children of Ammon. Joab splits the Israelite army into two pieces, half under his control, half under the control of his brother. Sometimes the smart thing to do is let go and trust someone else to do a good job. And that's what Joab is doing. And Christians need each other and each other's spiritual gifts to make God's work succeed. We all have to do our part. Verse 11, and he said, if the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. But if the children of Ammon be strong for thee, then I will come and help thee. Joab says, you go this way and I'll go that way. And if either one of us get in trouble, all we have to do is call and the other one will be there. People who love God help God's people when they need a hand. Say it again. People who love God help God's people when they need help. It's like the Bible says, how can one say they love God who they do not see if they do not love God's people who they do see? 12. Be of good courage and let us play the men for our people and for the city of our God. In other words, the cities you are fighting for belong to God Almighty. He's saying, be brave and fight your heart out. You're fighting for the Lord and for the people you care about. He continues in verse 12, and the Lord do that which seems to him good. In other words, no matter what happens, God is in control. Boy, that's a great attitude to have. all we can do is our best. All we can do is our best and trust God with the results. And even if we fall short on our end, we have to trust that God will use the results for His glory and for our spiritual good in the long run, because He promises that He will. 13. And Joab drew near, and the people who were with him, unto the battle against the Syrians, and they fled before him. The soldiers for hire on the other side took off when the battle got tough. And that's because they were not fighting for friends and family and God. They were fighting for money. And it looks like they wanted to renegotiate the contract. See, when you fight for love, love of God, love of others, you don't quit. Love doesn't sell out no matter how bad it gets. But Jesus said a hireling takes off when there's danger. And you see the contrast here. 14. And when the children of Ammon saw that the Syrians were fled, they also before Abishai and entered into the city. So Joab returned from the children of Ammon and came to Jerusalem. When the Ammonites saw that their hired army took off running, they ran inside their city and they locked the gates. Fear and panic and other negative things spread like a contagious disease. And that's why God says bad company corrupts good morals. 15. And when the Syrians saw that they were smitten before Israel, they gathered themselves together. And Hadad-Rezer sent and brought out the Syrians who were beyond the river. And they came to Helam. And Shobach, the captain of the host of Hadad-Rezer, went before them. These soldiers for hire regroup. They got some reinforcements. And they attack again. Israel resisted them. They took off running. But they're back to try again. Just like Satan and his demons. They were too stubborn to quit. Too bent on evil to give up. You resist the devil and he will flee. That's what the Bible says. But sooner or later he'll be back to tempt again, to see if you're going to resist him again, or if you've let down your guard. It's a constant battle. You better be on guard. 17. And when it was told David, he gathered all Israel together and passed over the Jordan and came to Helam. And the Syrians set themselves in array against David and fought with him. And the Syrians fled before Israel, and David slew the men of 700 chariots of the Syrians and 40,000 horsemen, and smote Shobach, the captain of their host, who died there. And when all the kings who were servants to Hadad-Rezer saw that they were smitten before Israel, they made peace with Israel and served them. So the Syrians feared to help the children of Ammon anymore. And all this fighting, think of this. All this fighting and killing could have been avoided if the king's counselors would not have slandered David. No wonder the Bible says that the tongue is a fire. It corrupts the whole person and sets the whole course of his life on fire. Words are one of the most powerful things on earth. They can do good, but they can also do evil. Chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass after the year was ended, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. David was not leading his army like other kings, and like he had done in the past. If David would have been doing that, If he would have been where he should have been, he would not have been where temptation was about to grab him. See, if we're not doing good things, things we are supposed to do, then we may be tempted to do what we're not supposed to do. 2. And it came to pass at eventide that David arose from his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. David could not help what he saw. But he could have stopped looking. He was not wrong to see what he saw, but he was wrong to keep looking. But, you know, perhaps Bathsheba was being careless where she bathed. You know, women have an obligation to be modest. And men have an obligation to be self-controlled when it comes to women. There are two sides to this issue. I'm not saying she purposely tempted David or is trying to, but certainly she was careless in where she was bathing. 3. And David sent and inquired about the woman. And one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" David made another huge mistake here. He nursed his thoughts about Bathsheba. He looked at her, he kept looking at her, and then he kept thinking about her, and that took him to the next level of wrong. He sends someone to find out about her. David is really getting close to the fire now. When temptation comes, God says, stop, stop. He says, stop, there's trouble ahead. When temptation comes, that's a good time to say, "Jesus, help me." Not nurse the temptation. 4. And David sent messengers and took her. And she came in unto him, and he lay with her. For she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. David sinned. But I would say that Bathsheba also sinned, because she evidently did not protest. The Bible doesn't say that she did. God's word says that if a woman finds herself in a situation like this, it's her duty to say, stop, don't do it. And I don't care if he was a king or not. She still should have said, stop it. He is guilty. But it appears as if she is guilty also. 5. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, "I am with child." When David's temptation was in high gear, all he could think about was, "I want to do it. I want to get involved with this woman physically. That's what I want." And that's all he could think about. His mind was consumed with that. He didn't plan ahead. And when the devil or our flesh tempts us to sin, they always downplay the consequences. God would say, don't be a fool. Because there's going to be a price to pay. And believe me, this child is just the beginning, as we will see.